Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Having a teen feels like having your own live-in influencer. Somehow you know the latest makeup trend and the fact that skinny jeans are not the most flattering pants. Now it's time for you to show them what's up, thanks to Domino's. From April 22nd through April 28th, carry out as many large two-topping pizzas from Domino's as you want for only $6.99 each. And teach your kiddo that saving money and Domino's pizza will never go out of style. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 422 through 428. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
He's just a hack. He's just an absolute hack. And he gets his ass kicked by his teammates every week. It's just, you know, it's terrible. It's just terrible.
We're back here on Hack City. Joe DeLeon, Sean Anderson, two former college football players from the University of Rhode Island. I am, Sean, I'm in probably the most disoriented state that I could possibly be because yesterday, my mental well-being was hanging on by the last thread of sanity that it had because of internet issues. If anyone who tuned into the Ruffino and Joe show knows exactly what I'm doing. Had a little bit of a blow up over the internet not working in the office. So we opted to tape here because it didn't work yesterday when we tried to tape. Now my alarm doesn't go off on our scheduled taping time in the morning and I am 15 minutes removed from waking up. So I'm sure that this is going to be great quality, Sean. How are you doing today?
It should be great. I love being the punctual one. It makes me feel good. It's easy
when you got 3 hours head start. So
it's like being in a relationship and you're kind of the one that messes up and you get sick of it. And then all you can really hope for is that your partner is the one that finally messes up. So you'd be like, ha, got you. Instead of me getting got, I'm getting you now. I'm not getting got anymore because look what you did. And it obviously a toxic relationship that you would be in.
I was going to say, but
that's what it feels like in this instance. I was finally able to say, gotcha, Joe. That's what I did. I got him today.
I was going to say, what type of relationships were you in? But I know the two relationships.
Don't
that you
worry
were in.
About and, mine. Okay?
I mean, I have no leg to stand on. I have no leg to stand on from the relationship that you encountered that I was in. So, but I know exactly what you mean because we both encountered that.
I am just trying to draw a metaphor. That's all I'm trying to do. Maybe not even for my own life. Just a metaphor. I'm just saying I'm drawing a metaphor.
Okay.
Well, stay on the ball here, Sleepy.
I think you would need the context to draw that metaphor.
No, I don't think so. I think it could be a contextless metaphor.
Ironically, though, Sean, we actually are going to be talking about two different types of relationships on today's show. And what I'm talking about, Bill O'Brien leaving Nick Saban. And then we also have some drama still going on between Ed Reed and Bethune-Cookman. So we're going to talk a little bit about both those things. Sean's going to react to a mock draft that I did yesterday that surprisingly didn't get eviscerated as much as I thought it was going
to get. Not as much as someone else's.
We're not going to. Hey, look. You know, I talk about it. Like, props to Ryan. That was a tough move to decide to go with Michael Mayer. And I actually defend him. I actually think that Michael Mayer to the Lions at six is very realistic. Because of who Dan freaking Campbell is, that we forget that he is the most hard-nosed coach in all of the NFL.
Sure.
And that they're not going to take a blocking tight end that is also an incredible receiver. No, of course, that's crazy. That doesn't make any sense for that team that doesn't have a tight end because they traded said tight end away. No, it doesn't make any sense, Sean.
Okay, we're not getting into that now, but okay. I'm excited to react to your mock draft.
Okay.
Do we have a little bit of business that I can brag about here?
I think we do have business that we can, if you're referring to the read. Yeah, yes. You're referring to the read. Yes, can you do the read?
Yeah, so I live with a huge Cowboys fan. I do. I mean, really, he lives and breathes with them. It's not as bad as it was. He told me a story about that I completely forgot, that when we were both kids growing up, when Tony Romo botched the PAT or the field goal, whatever it was, mm-hmm. apparently he punched me out of anger because he was so mad. And he was like crying and he punched me out of anger because he was so mad. I don't even remember that, which I find between me and him, I'll just chalk that up to zero. It didn't matter, but it was just a little reference point. This guy loves the Cowboys. The Cowboys played the 49ers on Saturday. I took the 49ers covering 3. I didn't tell him because that's what I think a responsible anti-jinx better does. But also, in the name of friendship, when you have a team in the playoffs, you don't really want to twist the knife in and kind of laugh and call and brag about betting about a team losing. Joe was very upset with me for just trying to get my money right on Saturday, but we'll move past that. Regardless, if you're going to make a bet in secret or if you're going to make a bet in public, head to BetOnline. It's truly the fastest and easiest way to bet all of your favorite leagues and events. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure you use promo code BLEAV to receive your rewards. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts. Joe, any response to you being very snippy with me on Saturday when I called just to see?
Okay, wait.
I'm not trying to start anything. A little snippy.
No, you are a Sean. You called me when my team was down 20 plus points.
There's some value there.
I'm referring to the Giants. If you're going to make a money line live bet, go for it. You don't call me. You don't call me and ask, oh, do you think that the Giants are going to get back into the game?
What impression is that? I know you're not impersonating me with that voice.
That's not you, but that's what you sounded like in my head because you are a total jackass for doing that. Look, no one who is watching their team play and losing that bet wants to talk about betting. If you think that they're going to come back, go for it. I don't know if they're going to come back. I knew they had no shot.
I just didn't know if there was any value there, if you thought they had a shot.
Do you really think that Daniel Jones was going to lead a 20-plus point comeback? Do you really think that that was going to happen, besides the point, Sean? Let's talk about Bill O'Brien, though. So yesterday, in really not so shocking news, Bill O'Brien, who was Alabama's offensive coordinator, is leaving, and he's heading to the New England Patriots. Now, that's a great move for Bill Belichick, because it's somebody that's from his coaching tree. He has had a background and a prowess of success as an offensive coordinator. Am I blanking here? Was he the offensive coordinator for Mac Jones, or am I skipping a generation?
I believe you're skipping a generation. He was in Houston, and then he went right to Alabama from Houston after that whole shit blew up.
Okay. Besides, there are still connections, and it makes sense for that Patriots hire. Now, this opens up the door for a lot of people to potentially be hired. Now, the ones that kind of keep getting thrown out there is Dan Mullen's a possibility. Jeff Lebby from Oklahoma, who was previously at Ole Miss under Lane Kiffin, is a possibility. I have thrown out Cliff Kingsbury as a possibility in a reel that I did. But let me ask you this, Sean, before we pitch a couple of names. Do you think that this is going to be better for Alabama in the long term because of some of the issues that they had over the past couple of seasons where some people did place blame on Bill O'Brien for lack of offensive production?
I don't. Alabama is such an outlier, it seems like, in the college football realm with how they operate, how they work, how Saban has been able to create a culture where truly in the era of, I'd say, me athletes, it still seems like a we team. And it's, if you don't want to be here, you don't have to be here. But if you are here and you commit, we'll get you to the NFL. That's how it is. So to be able to do that, I think Alabama is still in fine shape, no matter who they bring in. As long as they have Saban at the helm, it doesn't really matter who they bring in as the OC, at least in my opinion. I've seen multiple offensive coordinators. I've seen Alabama still be incredibly productive and still be a top five team in the nation for the last decade. So with that track record, it seems like they could bring in Coach JB to be their offensive coordinator. And he might shake some things up, but it would still be, I think, an Alabama-ran offense, which run the rock, have your speedy receivers, your good receivers, a solid tight end, and a quarterback that will be a draft pick. Like that's what it seems like to me. And if that's not a really great take, so be it. But that's the truth about Alabama. They're operating on a different wavelength than everybody else. Georgia starting to get there, but that's just because of talent and dominance. It doesn't feel like a true, true culture there yet. Alabama, though, concrete evidence that they can move the ball.
So to answer the question that I posed, I actually do think that this is going to be better for them in the long term. I think Bill O'Brien is a great coach, but because of the expectations that Alabama has and that they struggled this past year with a lack of receivers, it seemed strange to me that they were so committed in these important games. Like, I think mostly back to the LSU game, why it was, Bryce, you need to go win us the football game. You had
that doesn't normally seem like them.
A Heisman contending running back at one point last season in Jahmyr Gibbs, and he's going to be a first round pick. So for me to not rely on him, and also the other, they had two other running backs too that were good enough to lean on. They should have been running the ball more in certain games, and I don't really understand why Bill O'Brien has always set up his guys like that. And I'm maybe a little concerned for Mac Jones, but it's a pro style scheme, and I think it's something that's going to mesh well, so that's not an issue. Sean, the one thing though, I mentioned three of the top names. If you look up any article, those are the three top names. And I think that Cliff Kingsbury is the most unlikely because he just kind of disappeared into the sunset. But
he fell off the face of the earth in Thailand. That's what he did.
Which he should have done. Yeah, he's disgraced. But I really do believe that the best move for both parties is for him to be the next offensive coordinator. For Cliff Kingsbury, his sake, there is no easier and better path to get back into the most prominent roles in coaching than to take on this job as the offensive coordinator and producing really good results. It has happened for both positions on a year-to-year basis from guy to guy. Lane Kiffin and Steve Sarkisian are the most perfect examples that are now head coaches at massive programs. The flip side
in the
of
SEC,
that,
Kingsbury was a Big 12 coach.
That doesn't mean that he can't coach in the SEC.
I know, but it seemed like a different animal of how they coach in the SEC. Kingsbury, I think, is might be too proud to change some things up at Alabama. Is he going to go air raid at Alabama? Is he going to?
Yes.
Oh my God! You don't do that there. You don't have the best running backs in the nation, and then go air raid.
You're obviously not going a pure strict air raid. Look, we saw that it worked at Mississippi State when Leach took over. It worked okay.
I disagree, better with him than before.
I disagree that they with talent limitations, they were very productive for what they had. They weren't
I'd
that
say
good
that,
defensively.
Yes. I'm just saying, I don't know if Kingsbury's the dude. I think he's got too much ego to be the dude there.
But maybe that's what he needs. He needs that check, because who else is going to hire him? No one is going to hire him as a head coach right now.
Someone will hire him as an OC in the NFL because he knows how to do that.
Then why didn't
The Cardinals melted down.
Why didn't he take one of the opportunities that were offered to him instead of choosing to go to Thailand? There were teams that were interviewing and wanted to interview him.
Why wouldn't you go to the beach for a year?
I think that that's a cop out. I think it's a cop out. I think disappearing for a year, if you're passionate about coaching and if you are young as Cliff Kingsbury is, you need to stay in the game. I don't understand.
Young doesn't mean anything to me. Dean Pease was the defensive coordinator for Atlanta last year. He's 74 years old. Age doesn't. Pete Carroll's oldest coach in the NFL. All
right, okay, both of them are going to die soon.
It doesn't mean anything to me. Young means nothing to me.
It means they've got more years on this planet to coach and to have opportunity.
What if he doesn't want to coach all of his life? What if he says, I was just publicly embarrassed in Arizona for 18 straight months. I'm taking some time off.
To have the opportunity to interview for the Patriots job, you at least have to interview for it. I think to cop out like that, I just don't understand what the plan is here with him. That's what I'm
You know
I'm
what
not
the plan
getting.
Is? Hey, I'm going to go put my feet up on the beach and get paid by the Cardinals because they signed me through 2027. That's the plan.
Do we think he's going to get the Matt Rhule treatment? Because I don't think so. I don't think anyone is going to hire him.
I think Matt Rhule should have done what Kingsbury did. Going to Nebraska for Matt Rhule a year out when he could have gotten paid like $25 million this year. Your mind frame
he's not human beings. He's not soft like Kingsbury, and he wanted to go right back into coaching and take on a good job. That's what it was. Matt Rhule knew that even though he was disgraced from the NFL for a lack of production, that he was still good enough of a college coach to get offered a job. No one is offering anything higher than this Alabama offensive coordinator job. It has not been offered yet, but if it gets offered, Cliff Kingsbury cannot dilly-dally and must take the job.
Don't say dilly-dally. First of all, there's good jobs that open up every year. Look at the jobs that were open this year. You had Wisconsin, Cincinnati, Nebraska. Who else? Louisville?
But okay, no one at a mid-tier to high-level P5 job is going to offer Cliff Kingsbury. The best head coaching job he had was Texas Tech, and he failed. No one is going to, in their right mind, hire him.
I doubt that. I still think, what did Matt Rhule do? Okay, we were good with Baylor for 2 years. I went to Carolina, flamed out, and now I'm back at Nebraska, getting paid a bunch of money.
But Matt Rhule was a winning coach at Temple, was a winning coach at Baylor. He did it twice. Cliff Kingsbury hasn't been a winning coach at a high level once anywhere he's been. He was the offensive coordinator at USC for 10 minutes before he jumped ship to a job that shouldn't have been offered to him. No one else was offering him a head coaching gig at any level.
You don't think he could have gotten like the Arizona State job?
No.
Oh my God.
No, I don't think so. I think that they understand that he needs a reset.
So he's taking a reset.
A reset right now is taking the offensive coordinator job at the best program in the country.
We have That's different opinions reset. of what a reset is then.
I guess we do.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Having a team feels like having your own live-in influencer. Somehow you know the latest makeup trend and the fact that skinny jeans are not the most flattering pants. Now it's time for you to show them what's up, thanks to Domino's. From April 22nd through April 28th, carry out as many large two-topping pizzas from Domino's as you want for only $6.99 each. And teach your kiddo that saving money and Domino's pizza will never go out of style. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 422 through 428. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
Yeah, you know you need protein to fuel results, but it's not easy when you're drinking the same bland, chalky shake every day. Stop punishing yourself and get to GNC for the best protein in the game, including all the hottest brands and crave-worthy flavors that'll keep you coming back for more. We're talking protein that legit tastes like cookies, your favorite cereals, indulgent desserts, and more. So bust out of your protein rut and actually look forward to those shakes with unbeatable protein at unbeatable prices. Fuel your fitness with protein at GNC.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Sean, speaking of a reset,
sure.
Bethune-Cookman and the situation with Ed Reed is getting very heated. So, to recap of what we talked about last week with this situation. So Ed Reed was in contract negotiations to sign on as Bethune-Cookman's head coach, which is, you know, in line with some of the other former NFL greats to take on these HBCU jobs. And while he was in these contract negotiations, he stepped in and was going to start taking over the team and had this very explicitly laced rant, justifiably expressing his concerns with the fact that the campus was a mess, that his office wasn't cleaned, and he was pissed and saying, I shouldn't even be here. I shouldn't even take this job. They didn't even clean my office. He issues an apology shortly after, and now Bethune-Cookman has halted their negotiations, so he is no longer going to be their head coach. He has since gone on a news broadcast, and I think it was with his agent, where he was talking about, and they were answering some questions regarding the situation. Apparently, he turned down taking over for Dion at Jackson State to take on this job because he thought it was more promising. The one thing that gets even trickier, though, is now Bethune-Cookman's students are coming out publicly saying, our dorms have had mold in them. This campus is a mess. There is no accountability by the university to make it a clean and safe living environment. So we're not only finding out that Ed Reed feels like he was disenfranchised by the situation, but students are also upset that, one, they are letting Ed Reed go, and there is also an effort and a protest to get him to come back, but also they are using it as an opportunity to protest their own issues. So a lot of complexities here, Sean, and it kind of goes in line with what we talked about last week, where it just felt like that they were trying to just use him for the free publicity, and they weren't going to give him the support and the resources that he needed to succeed.
Yeah, I also saw a petition from the players to try to keep him, that wanted him to be their coach. It's a weird situation. It's Deion Sanders kind of, with his media company and having everything brought to light as it is, and he says, all right, if we're going to show everything, then that has kind of opened Pandora's box, where now Ed Reed is going on Instagram Live showing everything, and Bethune-Cookman might be different than Jackson State, where they don't want everything shown. Maybe they're in a different situation than Jackson State, whether it be university cleanliness, whether it be how the campus is presented, how the campus actually feels, looks, is. It's I don't know if it's a good box to open to go on Instagram Live showing the university and what it is before you even have accepted the job, really, before you've even gotten to a practice. Okay, that's not great. But also, if you're trying to bring in Ed Reed and you're trying to turn this thing around and you're trying to get a culture change at Bethune-Cookman, then you have to start changing the culture at Bethune-Cookman. You can't, there's not many guys that can truly move mountains, and there's not many guys that might want to come out of pocket like Deion did. And then Deion had to, if he really wanted to make changes at Jackson State, which he did. Ed Reed might not be that guy. So if he's not that guy, no fault to him either. If he's not that guy, then there needs to be some type of work, and not you saying, oh, Ed Reed came to our campus, he aired out our dirty laundry, now he's not going to be our head coach. There either has to be a stepping point, or you get a coach in there that's willing to coach in those conditions, and somebody that's able to roll over for admission and or administration. If that's the coach you want, you could find any coach like that. You could find a coach anywhere that will do that. But Ed Reed does not seem to be that type of guy. Ed Reed also seems very disappointed with the situation, how it unfolded.
Well, I don't think it's purely if Ed Reed is the same type of coach as Deion. The one thing that is very positive is you do hear from the players that were briefly exposed to him that were saying, like, we loved Coach Reed, like, just getting to know him. He seemed to really care about the players in the program. I'm more disappointed with Bethune for not, like, you can't, and we talked about this last show, you can't hire somebody like this, a coach like this with a name recognition like this, and not provide them a path to success.
Dude, I wouldn't even want to see like Mike Locksley there and having to deal with that, right? Yeah. It doesn't even have to be an NFL Hall of Famer great. The coach should be, if you want to win and you want to change, whatever coach you bring in, if you really want that, needs to be given a true opportunity to try to change the culture with everybody pitching in, not just him, not saying, hey, you're Ed Reed, you did it, so now do it for us, and we'll just sit here, watch you do it. Who does that? Who can do that?
One thing that's also ridiculous too, that there's rumors, and I think I even saw it was a former player who was alleging this, posted a video of a game where they were sharing helmets. Like,
yeah,
the guy was on the sideline, like, hey, D1 man, can I need the helmet.
D1 AA sharing helmets.
I don't know of a single other Division I AA program, or even for that matter, reputable Division II or III program that is sharing helmets. If you can't afford simple things like that, you should not be fielding a team. I don't understand,
dude,
why they even are paying the money to field it with the low level of quality. Is there some type of a write-off that comes from having a sports team? I don't understand any of this by the school's standpoint. It is rinky-dink and ridiculous the way
it's rinky-dink. And I promise you, Keith Wells Jr. and Brian Javier Castillo were not sharing helmets at Lackawanna Junior College.
Dude, could you imagine?
This is D1 AA. It's FCS. You do not share helmets at Bethune-Cookman. You cannot tell me that is an operation that unless it was just, hey, unless we're taking it completely out of context, which the show does a lot, and he was just asking his teammate to give him his helmet. It looked like they were sharing helmets.
Nah, dude, I think that
they were sharing helmets, right?
Yeah, I really do think that they were sharing helmets, because it was a former player that shared the clip from the game, and he's like, oh, here's a good example of when we had to share. Look, all I can say is if I showed up to camp and we were sharing helmets, I would have quit.
I would have been
college
pissed.
Football's not for me. Yeah, I would have been like, I'm out. I wouldn't be here right now if Rhode Island was sharing helmets.
And it's, I don't know, it's weird. There's a lot of pride wrapped up in HBCUs, as there should be, and there's people that will defend them and say, okay, well, look how far we've come already. Look how great the institution is, and look who we've been able to have graduate from the school. Still, there has to be a level of accountability for the school to acknowledge that if you really want a winning program, things might have to change. And if you want somebody to come in here with an unbiased opinion, which is someone that you need to change a culture, we have to accept that. We have to accept it. And people are going to say it's Ed Reed's fault. People are going to say it's the university's fault. I'm not saying there's a fault. I'm saying that there needs to be some type of cohesion between the two. It can't be all you or all me. It just doesn't work like that in football. It's a team sport. You want to do tennis? Fine. Tennis, it could work like that. You want to do swimming and diving? Sure. You're in the pool. You're racing. This is football. It's a different type of culture that you need to have established.
Hopefully that situation is resolved, and also hopefully Ed Reed does get an opportunity to take over another university, because it was very promising from the start for the very brief period of time that he was taking over. All right, Sean, let's wrap with this. My top 10 mock draft that I released yesterday, which got some pushback because of a Will Levis pick that I had at number 2 overall. Any takeaways that you have from this said mock draft?
All right, let's go 1 through 10 here. Number 1, Will Anderson, edge, Alabama, to the Chicago Bears. This is no trades involved. I'm seeing it's just a straight up draft.
No trades. It's too early to do trades right now. I don't like getting too caught up with the trade stuff.
Will Anderson, edge, Alabama. He's probably, I mean, I don't know. Who do you want more, Will Anderson or Jalen Carter? So if you think that he's better for the number 1 overall pick, that's cool. Will Anderson to the Bears. Fine with that. Will Levis, first quarterback off the board to Kentucky. Why?
That's not, and I stated this.
The Texans.
That is not my analysis. That is not
you put it in your top 10 mock draft. Wait, so I'm just
that
wondering
is,
why.
That is not my ranking of him. I have him lower than CJ and Bryce Young. However, from what it sounds like, from what I have heard, the Texans are not big fans of Bryce Young because of his size. So the exact opposite of that is the big, meaty kid that's really toolsy, and that player is Will Levis. They're not going to go CJ if they don't go Bryce. That's my thought.
Okay. All right. So if you think that's – you're going on just how you think the teams would operate in the fit. This is not a ranking, because it seems like you're trying to stir something up with this Will Levis thing. But
I'm not trying to stir anything up.
You're stirring me up right now.
All right. Well, I'll tell you where that information's coming from after, but I have information that is indicative of it being a very likely possibility. I think that the reason why there is steam for him being the first overall pick is directly related to the Texans. I don't think it's related to any other program, or not program, franchise. I don't think any other team is that high on him. I think it's purely the Texans because of that Bryce Young stigma.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm not going to battle you on that. Number three, Jalen Carter, defensive tackle, Georgia to Arizona. Arizona needs whoever they can get. I don't hate it. They could take, it doesn't seem like a reach. It seems fine. He's a good player. So Arizona, dumpster fire, but helping the team there. Number four,
best available.
Number four, Bryce Young, quarterback, Alabama to the Indianapolis Colts. Okay. I think Bryce Young's a gamer. I think the Colts are a mess. I think that they have no direction. I think they will hurt Bryce Young and his...
What? They got a good offensive line when they're healthy.
They don't. They do not have a good offensive line. I think that they could ruin Bryce Young. I hope they don't, but they could. Number five, C.J. Stroud, quarterback, Ohio State to the Seattle Seahawks. Like it. I like this. I think that C.J. Stroud, he showed me a ton in the CFP semis game. He showed me a ton versus Georgia. Yeah. That is one game. I'm not high on Stroud as a whole. I think he has accuracy issues. I think because he goes to Ohio State, it's he's made out to be a way bigger deal than he should be. But no one else has played Georgia like that. So he was able to be a gamer with an injured offense and really keep it tight with that. With that Buckeyes team versus that Georgia team. So if he could do that and maybe, I don't know, maybe he'll learn some stuff from Geno. It seems like a Seahawks pick where he could just be a great quarterback for 10 years for them. It seems like it.
That one pick got also a lot of pushback more than the Will Levis one because they're like, oh, Geno was so good last year. I don't think
Geno, he's not the future.
Geno's 32 and he played at like a C plus level. And he'll be the starter next
year. I'll give him a B level on the year. B level. He set the franchise record for passing yards. Granted, it was only 42-25, but still, come on. Give him a B. That Seahawks team was awful, dude. It was awful. They had a great draft class, but they were awful.
I'm also unwilling to give a lot of credit for anyone who produced a lot of results in the NFC West because that schedule was kind of soft. Yeah. The toughest game was the 49ers last year. So I don't know. I don't think Geno was that good. And I think you need to start from scratch. I think that it's the pure example of box score reaction that a lot of people typically do where they're like, well, look, you have this many stats. Why would you give them CJ Stroud? It's like, well, if you watched him play in the playoffs, we all know that he is not the long-term answer.
Number six, Brian Brisee, defensive tackle Clemson, going to the Lions. Okay. I'm never huge on having defensive tackles taken in the first round. It's not
such a drop-off in talent that you could literally go with anyone after this pick, by the way.
I would even... Brian Brisee, very good player, but I don't take defensive tackles in the first round. I don't. There's enough dudes to be able to play that position. It's not a very hard position. Those that are very talented, and I'll give it to you. If you're able to create pressure from the inside, it messes up an offense terribly. Uh-huh. It does. If you have Aaron Donald, Grady Jarrett, who's the other Quinnen Williams. If you have those three guys, sure. Go John Allen, go ahead. But there's five of those guys that can really disrupt from the inside. Five, maybe six. So I do not agree with taking a defensive tackle in the first round. Detroit, I guess if those three quarterbacks are gone, sure.
I would rather keep Goff. But Sean, if you're worried about defensive linemen going that early, this is going to be a really hard year for you because
I understand.
There's going to be a lot of them that go.
I'm fine with taking a chance on an edge rusher. I'm fine with that. I'm even fine with a flexible defensive tackle to defensive end guy. I'm cool with that. Strictly defensive tackles, can't do it. I can't do it. All right. Number seven, Paris Johnson, offensive tackle from Ohio State to the Raiders. Okay. I'd not be with that. I think Paris Johnson's technically sound. I think it's so hard to be a rookie offensive lineman in the league. I mean, Trey Smith is fantastic this year. I always think about what was that year when they were really thin at offensive line? I think that McGlinchey went high, and then the Raiders also took another high offensive
Colton
tackle.
Miller. And Colton Miller. Cole Miller's been good, but they need a right tackle. The rest of that offensive line stinks, and Leatherwood. This is what happens when you just wake up. Leatherwood was abysmal. He was terrible. Yeah. So you need a right tackle. And I think that Paris Johnson, you plug him right in, kind of like what the Giants did, where they already had their left tackle. You get a guy who's a left tackle, you throw him at right tackle, and then you've got two bookend guys for possibly the next 10 years.
It can't hurt. Raiders fans, be patient, though. It took freaking 4 years for Caleb McGarry to be an actual starting tackle in the NFL. Some offensive linemen take longer, so just be patient. Number 8, Miles Murphy, edge from Clemson to the Atlanta Falcons. Cool. Give me an edge rusher. We haven't had a pass rush in the entire time I've been a fan, or at least since John Abraham years and 1 year of Vic Beasley and rookie Grady Jarrett. Take chances on the edge. I don't want Atlanta to take a cornerback. All I'm seeing is them taking cornerbacks. That's all I see. I don't.
There's also not that many good corners this year for them to draft.
No, I'm seeing the kid from Oregon being mocked all the time. I'm seeing Keely Ringo through Atlanta. I don't. No. Give me an edge rusher. Take a chance. If he stinks, he stinks. But you took a chance. If it's Karis McKinley again, fine. But you cannot just sit here and have 20 sacks a year when the Eagles are getting 70. Am I wrong, Joe?
No, you're not wrong. Defensive lineman, you can build through the defensive line.
Not a defensive tackle, though. Okay. Number 9.
Take Brzee.
Who? The Falcons?
Watch them take Brzee, but go ahead, continue.
Awesome. Number 9, Tyree Wilson, edge, Texas Tech, going to Carolina. Okay. I mean,
yeah.
Okay, last year was a really good edge class, so I don't know if this year is going to live up to it. It is what it is. Number 10, Trenton Simpson, linebacker Clemson to the Philadelphia Eagles. Sure, rich get richer. What a great spot that they have a top 10 pick, and they're going to win the Super Bowl.
That one was so confusing. They're not going to win the Super Bowl. That one was tough for me because it's like, okay, they are sound on their offensive line. They've got all the receivers, plus there's no receiver worth taking that early. They don't need Bijan because Miles Sanders had a great year this year. And then on the defensive side of the ball, like every position group is filled. So if you're a clean roster, I had some people push back to like, they've got Kaiser White. I'm like, it wasn't Kaiser White. I forget who it was. There was one guy that everyone's like, well, they've got this guy and he's really good. And like, he's okay. Why wouldn't you take the twitchy, freakish athlete and just kind of let him grow into the position?
Yeah, it's nuts. That Philly defense is nuts. They have Jalen Carter. They got N'Kobe Dean. They stole N'Kobe Dean last year.
You mean,
Jalen Carter. Davis.
Jordan Davis.
Jordan Davis. They have good edge rushers. Brandon Graham's still good. Yeah, another linebacker can't hurt. And it's just, why wouldn't Philly have a top 10 pick this year? And they just steal and they just rob in the draft. They steal and pillage other teams in the last couple of years in the draft. Congratulations, Philly, on back-to-back Super Bowl wins.
All right. I think that's a great note to wrap us up on. At Joe DeLeon, at Sanderson Radio, Hack City on YouTube. Thank you everyone for tuning in. We'll be back with more. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Having a teen feels like having your own live-in influencer. Somehow you know the latest makeup trend and the fact that skinny jeans are not the most flattering pants. Now it's time for you to show them what's up, thanks to Domino's. From April 22nd through April 28th, carry out as many large two-topping pizzas from Domino's as you want for only $6.99 each. And teach your kiddo that saving money and Domino's pizza will never go out of style. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 4/22 through 4/28. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
Stop punishing yourself with bland, chalky protein shakes and fuel your fitness with the best protein in the game at GNC. We've got the hottest brands and flavors that legit taste like cookies, your favorite cereal, indulgent desserts, and more. It's on at GNC.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. Auto Trader.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.